Hello and welcome to day three of the Tidbits Pod Mongolia Nadam Festival mini series. Let's get into it. All right, chums, I'm back. And when I say I, that's me, Jack Tidball. And when I say back, I mean I'm back in Taichung, back to reality, back to my little flat here. Feels nice. But no chances of trains going by, and certainly no chance of throat singers to be singing outside. Maybe my neighbour the scarecrow upstairs will start rattling around on the in the stairwell, but yeah, no Mongolia sounds for sure. But let's not talk about Taiwan and stuff. We still have business, don't we? I need to catch you up on Mongolia day three, and this is going to be the third installment of the Mongolia trip. So let's crack on. And yeah, day three was an early one because we were heading out to this massive open space to watch the final part of this huge horse race, this traditional horse race. I'm pretty sure it's the longest in the world. But instead of going around and round a track, this one, they just go in a, you know, like from point A to point B, in a huge sort of over the mountains race course thing. Anyway, fucking sick. But yeah, so yeah, we got up and then had the breakfast, which was some meat stewy stuff and some salad-y bits. Mongolian food's fucking nice, by the way. Like, it's sort of like Chinese food meets kebabs meets Russian, you know, it's all just this lovely mix of stuff. They've taken the best from a lot of places. I'm sure you've all had Mongolian food, but it was nice to have it fresh. Fucking cool. But anyway, had the breakfast and then layered up because this place, like out in the horse race field or whatever, the steppe had no cover at all. We were just warned it's going to be fucking windy, it's going to be cold, and, you know, if the day before was anything to go by, I wasn't going to fuck around with rain jackets and missing that. So layered up and, you know, got sun cream and umbrellas and everything ready for all everything that could have come our way. But yeah, that was the bit I was most looking forward to, actually. Was going to see the emptiness. When I was thinking of Mongolia, I was just waiting for the, you know, like just the pure horizon, looking around and seeing nothing, right? Because, like, coming from Taiwan here, it's always really busy. Like, even the countryside, you're never really far away from anything. But, so I was looking forward to, like, the clean air and the open space kind of thing. So we drove for, I don't know, probably an hour or something. I wasn't paying attention. Had a little snooze on the bus. But, it was just out in this area. But from what I was expecting just, you know, us to park up and see one bit of the race. We actually went to the bit which was the sort of finish line area, which had a bit of an event and stuff, which was cool. Parked up, and it was actually more like being at a music festival or something. It is called the Nadam Festival, and it is a festival, but I wasn't expecting, like, you know, a festival sort of thing. I thought it was just, that was a general name, but I was wrong. But there were loads of, like, stalls set out, and there were gears there which is what they call yurts, these little nomadic dwellings where they were everywhere, and people they're selling toys and games and stuff. There was a stage there. Like, it was this massive thing, like fucking, I don't know, Glastonbury for horses or whatever, Horstonbury. Like, it's just this amazing sprawl, really. And yeah, I asked the online assistant earlier, and it said, yeah, if you're looking specifically for how many people attended the Nadam Festival horse racing, the most accurate answer is : no official spectator attendance number has been published. Contemporary reports describe crowds of many thousands, but no verified headcount has been released. So yeah, a quicker way to say that would have been, I didn't know how many people were there, but yeah, so not as sort of wide open and sprawling as I was thinking, but cool as fuck. And then when we got to, you know, the race bit, there was, you know, you could still look out and see this space sort of thing. And I think I should give you a bit more information about the race itself. And this, this ChatGPT thing's actually worthwhile. So it says here, the horse racing at Nadam is unlike almost any other horse race in the world. Rather than being held on an oval track with professional jockeys, the races take place across the open Mongolian steppe, where the emphasis is not on the endurance and where the emphasis is on the endurance and spirit of the horse, rather than the riding skill of the jockey. And here are some interesting aspects. Number one, the horse, not the jockey, is the athlete. Number two, the jockeys are very young. One of the most distinctive features is that the jockeys are usually children between 5 and 13 years old. Most have been riding horses since they were toddlers, which is common in Mongolia's nomadic culture. And next point, it has long distance endurance. So yeah, that's fucking sick. Like, and around the festival and stuff, everybody was riding horses sort of thing, just weaving in and out of groups and things. And yeah, there were just like little kids just riding these horses. Look fucking crazy, but amazing. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know, like when you're skiing or something and you see loads of little European kids on the skis and they're really comfortable. These Mongolian kids were on horses and just so comfortable sort of thing. They're just, I don't know, it's in the blood or whatever. But as I said, the race we watched was 24 kilometers long, but a lot of the experience as a spectator, we were just standing and watching. So they start the race way, way over the horizon. Like, you can't see anything. And the bit we were in, well, so there's the very, very, very end, and that has sort of like little grandstand things. You can rent a chair there and have a look. But we stood a bit further down in this roped off bit, and a lot of the experience was obviously just looking out into the steppe, whatever, but you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. While we waited, we tried some of the, is this famous traditional, it's fermented mare's milk, which is pretty fucking nice, actually. It tasted a bit like kombucha or, you know, that kind of thing, like sort of fizzy, a little bit alcoholic. It was great. Like, the guide, Nemo, he poured it out because he said it was one of the good ones or whatever. So handed it to me first, which I thought that was fucking cool. I was like, yeah. I was really, really trying to befriend this guy because he's fucking sick. And yeah, he was saying that sometimes people drink 20 litres of it a day. But you know, maybe like a Mongolian liter is not the same as the liters I know, because that's fucking crazy, isn't it? But yeah, I was really happy that I tried it, and then he gave me like a little nod of like, yeah, I don't know. So I was doing it for me, but also I was doing it to just look fucking cool. And well, at least I think I got away with it anyway. But yeah, it's a very traditional, special thing. I'm glad I did that. And yeah, we were told, so we were waiting by this rope, this metal roped off bit, and started out, we had some space, and then more and more people arrived. And of course, I'm just staring at the horizon because I wanted to be the first one. I wanted to be the guy to be like, oh, hark, over hither, on the, you know, you want to be the guy that's sort of pointing it out first kind of thing. Like the kid that sees the sea first in the car. That was me. But yeah, it turned out we were there first, and then you see the police come and they start sort of manning the area and everything. So if we knew the score, we could have just gone, oh yeah, the police are here, then we'll move over. And yeah, we were in the spectator bit, and then the fucking army lined up behind us for a bit. Just thought that was a bit odd. But yeah, they were all standing there like fucking bowling pins, just I don't know, 10 and 2, just watching. So that was pretty fucking cool. But yeah, all we knew was, right, the horses are going to come from this way, and we didn't really know much else. So yeah, I was just staring at the horizon. And then we got a nice bit of sunshine. So the wind was still fucking icy and crazy, but it was nice to have a bit of the first bit of Mongolian sun, like, you know, lighting up all the green of the area and stuff. It's really, really nice. And we were there for a long time. We got right to the front. By the time all the action was happening, this, even though we were ages away from the finish line, there was about maybe 10 people deep in this line, and the army and horses. And yeah, it started to sort of surge a bit. So yeah, after a little while, you just spot this little white light just on the horizon. And then like there was a big fuzz of black and brown and grey behind, and we're talking hundreds of horses. And at this stage, I was not really thinking about the race anymore. I was imagining myself as just like some fucking shitty villager in, like, imagine, I don't know, 1,000 years ago, or whenever the Mongols were at their peak, right? And being like, you're just there, and you're working on a farm or whatever, and then you just see that haze of horses on the horizon coming towards you, and you know you're about to get fucked. Like, that is what I was feeling watching this race. I was thinking, right, I'm not a spectator here. I'm a fucking a villager from 1,000 years ago being attacked by the Mongols. But yeah, obviously no fear or whatever. But you felt the energy of it. And when they were getting closer and closer, even though it's kids on horses, it's the horses that are the impressive thing. And they're all just rumbling. And yeah, in no time at all, like the crowd had heated up as well, and everyone was cheering. And well, actually, yeah, it was less of a cheer and more of a sort of a high-pitched battle cry thing. It sounded a bit like, it reminded me actually of this noise that my nan used to do when we used to go out on dog walks with the family when I was little, right? And she'd do this, like this really weird fucking battle cry thing. And that, it was like a primal memory for me, because I remember that used to scare the shit out of me back in the day, even though it was weekly and it was my nan. But yeah, just oodling, and they were going, they're doing this thing. And I was like, oh shit, this is crazy. But yeah, And after all of that wait, the race we saw, it was just over. They came to the horizon, like all just battling through. And then, yeah, it was all over and fuck knows who won or anything. That doesn't really matter. But yeah, it was just more of the spectacle of the thing. And it was nice as well to see that everyone was looking after the horses as well. Like it's their whole life looking after these horses kind of thing. And they're all like just preened and fucking, you know, it's like, you know, how people look after their cars or whatever. People are just, they were just really, really horse this, horse that. The guide was always talking about horses. And yeah, the Mongolian culture is so sort of linked to that and that traditional side of things and everything. And yeah, it was all natural as well. Like, the horses don't wear horseshoes or anything. Like, it's all proper, like, man and beast together. And you really feel like that the horses are into it too. Or at least that was what I was led to believe or whatever. But it was fucking cool. And, yeah, the horse races, that was done. And then I was speaking to Nemo. I was like, all right, Nemo, oh, man, this is cool. Have you ever had a horse? And he's like, yes. My Prius is my, like, and so it became a whole thing that Nemo rides his Prius, like he sits on the roof on a saddle on it, and yeah, I don't know, it's not going to be as funny here, but he was liking that we were calling his car a horse or whatever. Nice bit of bonding, but yeah, good times. And the horse race was done, and then we went for a fancy lunch, and then we went back to the stadium, back to watch the games and stuff. And this day was so much better. Like, it was such a different atmosphere, with a bit of sunshine. So yeah, we caught the end of the women's archery, which in this thing, which is the Manly Sports Festival, I think archery was one of the only events that had a women's section or whatever. But anyway, yeah, we got to their archery bit, and it was, they were doing a sort of tiebreaker archery penalty shootout thing, and that was fucking sick. That was good to watch. We were saying, like, yeah, she's gonna fuck up, or oh, she's gonna be good. And you're just trying to speculate, you know, you just get into the sports even though you have no idea and no experience. You're just like, oh yeah, no, she's going to be good. And like, and you're just chatting shit. Like when you watch the Olympics and you sort of, you know, you become an expert on a sport you've never watched before. But yeah, after that, we went back into the stadium, and this is when we went back to watch the wrestling, which I think is called like Bok wrestling or whatever. It's the traditional Mongolian wrestling. And I'm looking at the pictures now, and yeah, timestamp, this is just before 5. We went into the wrestling arena, the same place that had the opening ceremony and stuff. And it's got the big picture of Genghis up there and or Chinggis up there and everything. And yeah, I'm going to let you in behind the curtain here. The wrestling, it's very frustrating to watch, all right? So a lot of it, it's just, you know, they get into the first sort of ready brace position, and then they kind of stand like that, sort of grappled on. It's kind of like a two-man rugby scrum sort of thing. And they do that for 2 seconds, and then, nope, they stand up and walk around for a bit. And then, yeah, it was like they're about to start, and then they're like, oh, shit, I need to get some steps in. And they'll do a little lap. But I think they're just so cautious about everything sort of thing. Like, if you make your move, then you're either going to be successful or the other person's going to counter it and it's done. So all they have to do to win a game of this wrestling, they just have to get their opponent to touch the ground, like with anything other than their feet. Hang on, I've got the actual rules here. So let me tell you. So Nadam wrestling rules. The objective, make your opponent touch the ground with any body part except for the soles of their feet. You win instantly if your opponent's hand, knee, elbow, hip, shoulder, back, or any other body part touches the ground. There's no time limit, so the match continues until there is a winner. There are no points. There is no scoring system or judge's decision. There's no weight classes. There's allowed techniques are throws, trips, sweeps, lifts, pushing and pulling. Not allowed striking or other unsportsmanlike conduct. It's single elimination. If you lose one match, you're out of the tournament. And features to look out for, the traditional eagle dance. This is performed before and after each match as a sign of respect and strength. The champion is the last wrestler remaining after all elimination rounds. And yeah, I think there were more than 1,000 of these, so they just all happen at the same time. This was happening as well on the day two. But yeah, by the time it got to the last day, it was, you know, you could actually focus on just the single matches at a time. But yeah, in short, the entire sport comes down to one simple rule. Stay on your feet and make your opponent touch the ground first. So in these matches, the end is always good. But yeah, like I said, because any action could be counted out or whatever, in the late stages, it gets really, really tactical. And yeah, like in any sport, if you hear the word tactical being thrown around, that's normally like that. That's normally interchangeable with boring, isn't it? Like if someone says, I don't know, it's not fair to say it's boring, but it's like anti-fun. You get loads and loads of, it's just building up tension. So I don't know, you're just like, they're like, fucking just chuck him down sort of thing. And then any little move, it gets a massive reaction sort of thing. Like, so for a lot of the fights themselves, the crowd, they lock in and then the crowd goes totally silent. It's not like any other sport where you're like, blah, fucking kill him or whatever. Like, I don't know, if you're watching boxing, people would just shout anything. But this, the whole place just goes pin drop silent. And then, I don't know, they'll be locked in and one of them will do a little raise of the foot, like they can do a sweep or a little push or a grab. And everyone's like, hey, hey! And they do these screams. And yeah, you're not really in it for the excitement. The thing that feels good is actually just the release, like the sort of good, they've actually done something. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like watching, do you remember watching Barcelona or Spain back in the 2010s? And obviously, if you know about football, you're like, oh, great, look at the technique. Like, what a good positioning and all this shit. But for the casual viewer, it's really hard to watch. Like, you're just watching these fucking tiki-taka triangles for ages and ages and ages because you're supposed to be supporting the possession and the fucking, oh, we're not letting the other team play, aren't we good? But you're just waiting for just a little flourish at the end. And that's the bit people remember. They don't remember that it was just like such a long time of just boring to watch. Like those old Spain games used to be fucking awful. But then they would just link together a little bit of play at the end. And you're like, ah, whatever. This is kind of like that. But yeah, aside from we just had a quick step out to get some food. Yeah, we went to this guy's restaurant and he looked a bit like Gok Wan. And he said he was a dance teacher and all this stuff. One of Nemo's mates hooked us up. That was very nice of him. And so we were watching wrestling because even while we were eating, we were still watching it on the TV. And we got in there, yeah, as I said earlier, about 5 p.m. And we were in that arena until just after midnight. Because each match, as they get as the stakes raise and, you know, their abilities, the sizes start to even out as well as it gets higher and higher. The match has just got longer and longer. And, yeah, I didn't really know what was going on. So you're not really sure when it's finished. So every time there's an end of a round, people will come out and they're doing speeches, and then there's kids reading from like religious texts, and they're getting horses around, and you're like, oh, this is great. Like, it's finished. What a nice ceremony or whatever. And then, or whatever, there's more. They come out, the eagle dancing, and everyone's going ham. You're just like, oh, just fucking, is this the last one? I can't take another one. If this is an hour, I can't watch this sort of thing. But yeah, you'd think it'd be fast. But yeah, one fuck up and it's over sort of thing. But each match was at least 20 minutes. And one of them was just over an hour. And we're talking grab the shoulders, stand in the stance for a bit, break the stance, go for a stroll. And they're just going around and around. And yeah, I was getting quite frustrated at points. So between the rounds, there's all the speeches and all this stuff's going on. But it was just all very odd, but very exciting. And you felt like you're eating your vegetables a bit for at points. But then there was amazing moments, like you just see the guy sweep the other guy to the floor. He's like, fucking yeah, sort of thing. But by hour six as well, it was so full in this stadium. If you wanted to move or if you wanted to leave, it's not going to happen, because they were, you know, everyone was filling up on the stairs and stuff. And like you couldn't get out if you needed to, and it was just a massive sort of, it was fizzing by the end. It was really, really cool. And yeah, I remember this one guy at Bandcamp, like this guy's name, to the English ear, or to my ear, it sounded like his name was Apple Tea. And everyone's going, Apple Tea, Apple Tea, Apple Tea. And fucking hell, this guy, like, he just milked his fight for the longest thing. Because, like, every time he'd even just do half a grab or whatever, Apple Tea, Apple Tea. And then he ended up winning. We're like, oh, fuck, if Apple Tea's going to be in another fight, we're going to be here till fucking 6 a.m. or something. But, yeah, all in all, it was a slog, but I'm glad I stuck it out, because the wrestling finished and then they did another ceremony to end it. You know, like this, the whole military stuff, all the horses came back, and yeah, the music was the same as what we'd seen in the first ceremony. You know, that I'll try and play in a clip, but yeah, it was like the ceremony we'd seen in the main square in the rain, but it was the opposite. So they all came out and then they were putting away these ceremonial spears kind of thing with the horse hair on and stuff. They did the whole ceremony but backwards. And then there was a fireworks show, and then there was drones, and it was all going off. But by the time it was finished, we're talking about, like, it was 12:30. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, in the pictures, this one, 12:42, 0:42, like, you know, all going on. And we're talking all generations in the stadium as well, like, all nice little grandmas, and, like, everyone's there. So, like, well, 12:42, technically it's the morning of day four, but yeah, we finished up at the stadium and then walked back to the hotel, and that pretty much concludes this day. And that means this is going to conclude this episode. So yeah, thanks very much for sticking around. Day three of the series. And may I remind you of the existence of patreon.com/tidbitspod. Get over to that. And yeah, you can subscribe for some extra bits and whatnot. But yeah, let's be honest, at this stage, there's not much in the Patreon yet. I'm going to keep adding and adding, but at this stage, you're helping a deluded friend enjoy a nice hobby, and of which as well, I'm trying to entertain you or whatever, or I hope this is something for you if you've listened for me for this long. But yeah, there's more of that. Whatever it is, if you're in this for the anti-fun, then there's more of that. Whatever you listen to Tidbits Pod for, there's more of it in the Patreon. So yeah, get involved. And speaking of more, day four is next. And yeah, tell you what, yeah, I'm going to do maybe day four and the journey. We'll see. But yeah, anyway, thanks a lot for listening. That's the end of this one. And I will see you later.